Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 32, Symptoms of Continuous Love. Verse 254. That primary rati, which clearly nourishes itself with non-contradictory bhavas, and becomes intolerably depressed and with sorrow by contradictory bhavas, is called the svarta rati, nourishing itself. Srila Prabhupada. The continuous ecstasy of love can remain like a powerful king, subduing all temporary manifestations of love, as well as any opposing elements of anger. It can be exhibited directly or indirectly, and thus ecstatic love can be described as direct or indirect. These symptoms of ecstatic love are possible only when one is fully situated in a transcendental position. Direct ecstatic love can be divided into two groups, namely selfish and selfless. 255. The same primary rati, which restricting itself, accepts both non-contradictory and contradictory bhavas, which then become prominent, is called parartha, nourishing the other bhavas. Footnote 17. The primary ratis become secondary when they allow the seven bhavas, such as hasa, to predominate. These seven then take the form of secondary stai bhavas. Right? So, when the bhava itself, even though other things come along, it still maintains its position, then that's the one what it's talking about, the first one. What was that? The swarta, nourishing itself. Right? And then in the roles. And then the second is where it takes a subservient position to, it doesn't disappear, to the secondary rasas. So they take a predominance, but still, they're still secondary rasas, because they will go away. So that's what Prabhupada uses the term continuous. So continuous ecstasy. Stai bhava is continuous. It always has that rati. The attraction to Krishna is always within that context. Right? Then the others add flavor to it. Yeah? Two, five, six. A primary rati in these two forms has five varieties. Shuddha, Priti or Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Vatsalya, Vatsala or Vatsalya, and Priyata or Madhurya. Right? So the five rasas, the primary. 257. The rati takes on a specific type, one of the five, according to the individual nature of the devotee. Just as the sun takes on various forms when reflected through crystals and other items. The rati takes on various forms and manifesting in different individuals, right? So you could say is that the rati is one thing, or prema is one thing, but depending upon the devotee being reflected through them, then it takes on the nature of these five. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. When non-contradictory symptoms of ecstatic love are distinctly manifest, and contradictory symptoms create a sense of abomination, contradictory ecstatic love is called selfish. The ecstatic love, which can adjust all contradictory or non-contradictory symptoms, is called direct selfless love. These selfless symptoms can again be divided into five groups: neutrality, servitude, fraternity, parenthood, and conjugal love. Such ecstatic love assumes a particular mode in contact with different objects of love. Right? Because in here is that the different objects of love. Here the object is used as in Krishna's subject and the devotee is object. Right? Because sometimes object is used as where it's directed, and sometimes it's used on the object meaning why. It means Mother Jashoda is the object of parental rasa because she is the ashraya of that. Right? She's the shelter of that. Therefore, she sees Krishna in that way. That brings out that rasa from Krishna. So then you can say then Mother Jashoda is the object because the conjugal love is directed at her from Krishna. Right? But in her, she's directing her rati, or love for Krishna, towards Krishna. But so he's the subject. Subject is where everything's happening. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why you'll see sometimes the object is used in both of these contexts. It means it's the direction, or it's who's the shelter of that. Yes. If I did, that wasn't what I was supposed to say. I was supposed to say parental. That's the problem. If you think of too many things at once, then you will start saying things that are, they get put together. Yeah. Shudharati. The first rati, called Shudharati, has three types. Samanya, Svacha, and Shanta. Footnote 18. The words Shanti and Shanta are used interchangeably.
We skipped the jokes first.
Oh, we did. Srila Jiva Goswami. The example of the reflection of the sun in crystal and other items is used to illustrate the variety that rati assumes in different individuals, not to illustrate that those who receive rati only have some reflection and not genuine rati, since it is composed of the Hladini and Samvit Shaktis, right? Because before we're talking about how people, it's a reflection, you know, like this, or it's a shadow or this. So he's saying it's not in that context. They're just giving the example that when you run light through a crystal, it'll come out one color. You run it through a different other gems than that, you'll get different colors. So it's saying it's the same light, different. So prema is the one thing. Bhakti is one thing. But depending on the devotees, you'll get the five different flavors of rasa. Right? So that's it. Because of particular differences, five distinct conditions appear, which are given five different names. So it's all prema, but because of the different conditions, therefore it's called Madhurya Prema, or Rati in this case, then Vatsalya Rati, and then the fraternity, servitor, like this. Yes.
So the idea is that the love is the same, but the person is different. That's why it reflects differently.
Yes, that's why you see it different. The condition of its expression is different. But it's still rasa. See, because Krishna is rasa. So there's rasa. Then, depending on the devotee, then you're going to see one of these five kinds of rasa being exchanged with him. Mm. But that's why he can function on all those levels. But the other devotees, you don't hear about them in other levels necessarily. Right? You hear about Mother Jashoda, and she has the elder gopis as friends. Like that. Yes. But you don't hear of much else. She has her servants in the house. But those are seen in the secondary light. They're not the primary light. But Krishna, you see it as primary. He's dealing with Mother Jashoda in one way, the gopis in another, his friends in another, the servants in another, the cows and the forest of Vrindavan in another. So he is rasa, while the devotee then is reciprocating with Krishna. That prema is directed at Krishna according to their individual nature and that condition. Does that make sense? So that's why the example is given, is the sun being reflected. So it's one sun, but depending upon where it's going through, it will create a different flavor. So, yeah. Good. Yes.
So we consider prema here as an energy flowing from
Krishna. Yes, yes. He's from his Swarup Shakti. So Hladini and Samvit Shaktis, that's Bhakti Shakti.
And then it reflects in the hearts of the devotees, yes, in different colors.
Yes. But for Krishna, that same is there. But it's serving Krishna, because Krishna is rasa, because he's the source of this energies.
Right.
Like that.
So then it reflects back to him.
Yes. But it'll be specific. So as they have that faith in Krishna, that's how he reciprocates. Mm-hmm. Sat. Okay, then it produce. Okay, then the first rati called Shudarati has three types: Samanya, Svacha, and Shanta. It produces quivering of the body and closing and opening of the eyes. Srila Jiva Goswami. This Shudarati is also called Kevalarati. It will be explained later that this rati is not endowed with particular tastes, such as known as Priti, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Priyata, Madhurya. This Shudarati, the first, Adhima, has three types, Samanya, Svacha, and Shanta. Samanya Shudarati. The rati manifested in ordinary people and children for Krishna is called Samanya Rati, or ordinary rati. It does not have the distinguishing qualities of even Svacha Rati or Shanta Rati. Srila Prabhupada, neutrality. Neutrality can be further subdivided into general, transparent, and peaceful. An attraction for Krishna by the people in general or by children cannot take any specific or satisfactory position. It can be manifest sometimes in trembling of the body and changing the color of the eyes to red, white, etc., though there is no symptom of any particular affection. Srila Jiva Goswami. Shudarati directed towards Krishna does not have the excellent qualities found in other types of rati, such as Priti Rati. Thus it is discussed separately from the others. When it does not have particular features, kanchid visesham aprapta, of even Svacha or Shanta forms of Shudarati, is called Samanya Rati, or ordinary. Samanya just means general, right? But by attaining higher levels of excellence, progressing through the form of Svacha Rati, it finally becomes Shanta Rati. This Samanya Rati will be found in ordinary people. This means it is found everywhere, or commonly. Right, so then anyone comes to the program, they appreciate, and there's some attraction or things like that. So then it doesn't have any particular features. Right, it's not a manifestation of a particular affection. It's just an appreciation, because Shanta means that appreciation. So then, that makes sense. Yeah. 2.5.10, an example. O friend, please tell me why my mind, like beeswax, has become very soft. Is it because of the sweet sun? Krishna has arisen on the street of Mathura in front of me. I can see no other cause for this happening. Srila Jiva Goswami. Why has my mind like beeswax, manasa maranam, become soft, mradi manam? The sweet sun, Krishna, has risen on the road of Mathura. Therefore, there is a conjecture that this is the reason for the mind becoming soft. It implies, quote, I can see no other reason. Footnote 19. The attraction for Krishna is so weak that there is a doubt whether he is the cause for the softness of mind. Right? But because it's about Krishna, then you see it's still perfect. It has that poeticness. It's still wonderful. Right? The locative case, Asmin Mathura Vityam Udayati Madhure Virochane Purataha, has been used to describe one action taking place while another action takes place. Yasya cha bhavena bhava lakshanam. Panini 2.3.37. The literal meaning would be, tell me, friend, why has my mind become soft like beeswax while Krishna has appeared on the road in Mathura? Right? So they're putting together two statements at once, and then from that poetic Zen is creating, you know, this doubt, but it's in connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's doing two things at once. Like that. So Sanskrit grammar has that aspect that means we would just, it may be used, may not be used, but in Sanskrit it's a specific thing. Yes. Of something where two things are happening at once. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. This is a statement by an ordinary person of Mathura on seeing Krishna after he had come to Mathura. Right? So it's not just a media that's about Krishna and that. It's that my mind is such a wonderful feeling and Krishna's come on the street, it must be Krishna. So that's the meaning. It's just ordinary. It doesn't have any specific qualities or specific affection. It's just that one is attracted by and one's affected by Krishna. Is that? Yeah. 2.5.11. Another example. Oh, old woman, see that child just 3 years old who, on seeing Krishna in front of her, is running after him and calling out. Srila Prabhupada. One old man was told by a young man, just see how this child, only 3 years old, is so jubilant. Simply by seeing Krishna, he is running so swiftly, making a tumultuous sound. Just see. This is an instance of neutral ecstatic love in the heart of a child without any specific subdivision. Right? There's not any other particular, you know, any other subdivision of bhavas and anubhavas and all these kind of things. 2.5.12. Svacha Shuta Rati. When Rati manifests many varieties, because the practitioner associates with various types of devotees and performs various practices, it is called Svacha Rati, transparent. When a devotee's Rati, like a clear crystal, becomes similar in form to that of the devotee to whom he is attached, it is called Svacha Rati. Srila Jiva Goswami. Verses 12 and 13 explain Svacha Rati. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, or the goal of the devotees of the Lord, of all causes and their effects. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-53. This shows how devotee association acts as the seed of Rati. Through association with various types of devotees, various types of sadhana, which are like watering the seed, will be performed. This will produce various bhavas in the practicing devotee. Right? So that's what yesterday you were asking about, that the magic of it. This is how it works, is that by association, then the heart becomes purified, so it becomes transparent. So then that particular rati of those you're associating with, that starts to manifest. Does that make sense? It's not yours, but by association it's manifesting. So this is still, as they're saying, pointing out these are different from the mayavadis and others who aren't devotees at all or not necessarily, and they're manifesting symptoms. It's still the same principle. It's reflected or it's a shadow. But this is transparent, means it's going through and therefore manifesting. The other one is just bouncing off. Right? So something is there. So that's the idea. That's why it says you follow the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So you appreciate their services. You always associate like that. You're always associating with devotees. You're always hearing about Krishna and his pastimes with the devotees. So one starts to take on that quality. So for us, it's not as important. The specific, that's there. The first thing to get, because we understand as Smarana Dasa, means the specific attitude of Vrindavan, which means 100% full surrender. So we see that mood, so we start to have that mood of surrender. Right? Varna Dasa means within that surrender, it has a specific point. You know, just like we're saying, you have the sun, and then you have different kinds of crystals in that, so the light will be reflected differently. Right? So in the same way as you have this prema of the Brajabasis, which is based on that full surrender to Krishna. And that. So that will start to manifest. Then within that, they have their five rasas. So does that make sense? So that again is like what we were saying before, is everything becomes brought down. The sahajas bring it down. That Shravana Dasa means I'm hearing about my relationship with Krishna. Then Varna Dasa, I'm adjusting with it. Right? Does that make sense? Then I'm absorbed in that. But no, this is first you're catching the general mood. Because it's just like you have Vaikuntha, you have Dwarka, and you have Braj. So unless the mood is there from the Jnana Shakti, what's the attitude? How do you establish that? So you have to start there. Then what are the activities? Then there's the prema, right? Because just because you're hearing about the Brajvasis, are you manifesting that prema they have? No. So, are we manifesting the activities? No. But we can catch the mood and attitude and that kind of understanding they have. Right? So it means, in other words, from the aspect from the Jnana Shakti, that we can catch. Right? Though we're hearing about their activities and their and the pastimes and the taste that they're getting. But how much of that we catch or that? Does that make sense? So, it's very easy to take it that because I've heard about it and that has an interest, therefore the activities are naturally there. But just because you've heard of something doesn't mean you can do it. Like I can remember so many times watching, you know, an expert cook something. And you know, I would be very familiar with cooking. And so I'd watch them cook it, and I go, yeah, I could cook that. And then I go and I go to cook, and I can't cook it. Because you didn't pay attention enough. Because you just took it kind of, huh?
You didn't know where to put attention.
Yeah, you don't know. It was like one thing I remember Didi Ma doing, that it was, I would have seen back in the early 80s. But it wasn't, I'm not sure until, not sure when it was, like 20 years later, that actually someone was explaining to me a technique in their cooking, when they're cooking the recipe. Then I understood that's what she was doing. I would have not caught it. You know, it's just like you have what do you call it? You make the chaunce, you put in the vegetables, and then you stir, you know, you stir fry them a bit. So then in the technique is you're stir frying it, but you do it with a lid on it. Then you open it, stir fry, then put a lid again. But the important thing is the lid. Right? So in my mind, you put the lid, that means water come out of the vegetables, that means then, you know, the things will get wet, and therefore then they won't cook as well, or you won't get as much of a fried flavor. So you leave the lid off, all the water evaporates, and so then, you know, you get really nicely fried, right? Of course, it's also really nicely dry. And then it may not always be cooked, and then you have to put some water later to cook it. But this is that the water that's there in the beginning is being used to steam it while it's frying. Because if the thing's touching the hot pan, it will fry. And just because a little bit of moisture is there, it won't fry. If a lot of moisture, you like put spinach in there and do that, then you just get water. But does that make sense? So they call it roasting. It's a different technique. But I didn't understand that until 20 years later when someone was explaining it to me. And the fun part is to hear about how devotees, you know, when they first learned cooking from Prabhupada, Prabhupada taught them that technique. There's a good chance that nobody understood that that was a specific technique and what it was doing, what it was using. But he shot the chaunt, you put in the things, mix them, put the lid. So it steams and fries at the same time. So by the time it's fried, it's actually soft and cooked. Otherwise, then it's fried, now you have to cook it. Right, that takes longer. It dries up. It whizzles. It loses the color. So many things are. Is that? Yeah. Where'd that come from? Yeah. So, how do we get into that? Okay. So by association, then you'll do things. But at some point, then you actually understand what's going on. It actually has a meaning to you. So then then it becomes part of you. So at this point, you're reflecting what's, it means it's transparent, means they're doing it, it's seen manifest by you. So that's the point of association. So therefore, then we perform our devotion, and by hearing about them, then these things happen. Right? And so then only is that, because you can do the activity, doesn't mean you know what's going on and how to connect it. That was the point we were making before. Is that, I see that there's an attitude of the Brajbasis, but unless I catch that attitude, I'll just look at the activities. Because I have the activities automatically from the mundane perspective. If I have the activity and the result, what do I have? I have the happiness, right? If you do the work, you get money, you're happy, right? It's just, that's the premise. You have the big house, you're happy. You have the fancy car, you're happy. Right? You know, so that's it. But no one actually talks about the happiness. So in the same way is that unless we start with the attitude, and with the attitude then look at the technique, then we can appreciate that technique, the result it gets, that's what generates the happiness. You know, it's the happiness itself is the interaction of Krishna and the devotees over that secondary item. So then you understand as these things are all secondary to the primary, the relationship with Krishna. But if I just approach it, I'll look at it, okay, the devotees are doing these activities, I'll take that as main. So then I'll think that's what Shravana Dasa is. Does that make sense? This is where the mistake comes. They simplify, they make it easier, they move things down. It means things that are more advanced, they move it down. And so we have to be, and it makes sense to us because from a materialistic point of view, it makes sense because all we ever deal with is the secondary. We never actually taste real happiness. Right? So that makes sense. We just remove the pain that we had of not having it and then get it and then we call that happy. So that moment of liberation, we call that happiness. That's why then you get rid of everything, then that experience must be really good. Right? I get rid of one obstacle, I'm happy. You know, get rid of all the obstacles at once, then that's, you know. Yeah. But then the taste is something else. So that's why then it has to move through. Does that make sense? Because unless the absorption's on Krishna exclusively, and it's just on ourselves and how happy we're going to be, then it won't progress. Yes.
One devotee mentioned that happiness actually has nothing to do with external environment. It's a state of mind based on your identity.
Yes.
That's the real happiness.
Yes, but there's an obstacle to that identity. You know? And so then when you remove that obstacle, then you feel happy. Because the same situation for someone else will not be a cause of happiness. Is that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say someone was out on the road, there's no place to stay, they can't get anything like that, the car broke down, they come back, you know, because they're late, and they finally got some, you know, not very, you know, grand place to stay in. There's, you know, what is it, Happy as Larry or something? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just super happy. They got some place to stay. You know, the alternative was, you know, sleeping in the back of the car with coyotes out on the, you know, out in the desert, right? So they're really happy. But now let's say the same place, someone else who had bookings for, you know, like a 5-star place and this and that, somehow or another something happened that they ended up in this place, they're not happy at all. Even though it's the same. So yes, it's a state of mind. Because the one that I stay in this and I got nothing, so something's better than nothing. The other is I got everything and now I end up with, you call this, you know, this is nothing. So yes, the identity is that. That's why we start with I'm servant of Krishna. So that's the first point. Sravana Dasa is I'm hearing I'm servant of Krishna. And then of servant of Krishna, then I'm servant in pure devotion. Right? Rather than I'm servant of God to what I can get from God. It most only go up to that level. You know, God's important because he takes care of all these things for me. But he's the one that actually arranges. If I pray to him, the obstacle goes away, so I'm happy, so therefore I like God. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and the more dear the things are there, then the more you like God. You know, but this is going through the pure devotion. I'm servant of God, not, you know, just to be taken care of by. So,
yes. It's an interesting phenomenon that Shravandasa is, we hear, we servant, but then Varandas, we have to accept that position as a servant.
Yes, and apply
it. Just hearing about it, it sounds good.
Yeah.
But then we have to accept it. Then meditation starts.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not happening.
Yes.
Although we hear it every day, basically.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the point. Manana means you apply it. So this process goes on. So this Shravana Mana, this is happening through the Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa, and Smarana Dasa. So those extend, that's what he's saying, Bhava extends all the way down to Shraddha. So these aspects go all the way down to there. But it's only once you get to Bhava, then one can move on to the advanced stages of it and move into Apandasa and all that. So that's where then, again, the Sahajiyas, they're trying to take it, no, here, down on this level, I can do all that stuff. But no, you can only do it on that level. So, this will produce various bhavas in the practicing devotee. The type of shudarati previously mentioned, which produces such variety in a devotee, is called swacha. The cause of variety is explained in verse 13. The devotee's rati is like crystal, takes on a form similar to that of another devotee to whom he is attached. The example of the crystal is used because its quality of taking on a variety of conditions, but not to indicate that this rati is only a reflection, not the real thing. Right? No, it's real. But it's only, they're taking on, the heart is purifying, they're taking on the quality of these devotees and manifesting and thinking and talking in those ways, which is glorious. But it has to come to the point of that, that becomes the inherent nature of oneself. Does that make sense? Yeah. Since it is included in the topic of Shuddha Rati, which is included in the topic of the forms of genuine Rati. Right? So it's just giving that the reflection, because it's included in these other topics. You have Rati itself. Within that, then the subcategory of Shuddha Rati. Then within that, the subcategory of the Swachha Rati. Right? So they're just using the example to show how that works. Right? However, this Swachha Rati is included in Shuddha Rati because the particular tastes it manifests are temporary, rather than permanent as in Priti or in other forms of Rati. This also agrees with the later statement in verse 21, which describes Shuddha Rati, which includes Swachha Rati, as being devoid of distinctive taste. Right? It just has that general taste of being connected with Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let us say, there are things that are really important to you. Right? It's just in the, you know, your values within the context of your experience. Now, if you take it back to what is that value, you'll see it's connecting with that general, you know, absolute nature of Krishna. That maybe I didn't make the gap here. Okay, let's say someone likes driving fast in a car. But when they go to that, there's a particular point, you know, either by the speed or the condition they're in, the car they're in, the same, you know, whatever it is, that will create that feeling of having touched the absolute. They don't know it's the absolute, but you touch that eternal platform. So that's what's happening. Everything that, you know, someone that likes food, then touching, and it just they touch that platform. So it's generic. It's not specific. It's just that you've touched the absolute. You're dealing with the absolute. So it doesn't have a specific quality itself. That's what it's meaning here. But it's connected to Krishna, so it's perfect. But you're only dealing on that absolute platform. Does that make sense? So that's what people, that taste that they have and identities they have are connected with these. Where they're tasting this, that's where their identities are. That's where their values are. That's where their endeavors are. So it's always connected with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why we see, I don't know if it was in here or if it was in, yeah. It was coming down, it was bringing, the aspect was bringing down about the Brahman aspect and the experiences. So you always get that there's this point when you get down to the Brahman level, that's where it has the transcendental connection, kind of the in-between, and then the ordinary. Right? So that's the point where it works for the devotees and for the non-devotees. Because they're all touching that. Just the devotees, they're in knowledge. The non-devotees aren't. Right? So that's why in that position, sometimes the rishis and the sages and the like this, the great thinkers, jnanis, are counted within kind of the devotional, and sometimes they're counted not in. Because the context of it, then that's where the saying is. While above that, you see it's very specific. It's that Krishna and that relationship, that sense of possession. Does that make sense? And so, therefore, the four upper rasas have that. So then, in that case, you call that's where the dynamic rasa is. This other, it's just a generic. You're appreciating. And so they're great devotees, and they're on the transcendental platform, but their taste is generic. But Krishna being unlimited and all that, it's not that they're any feeling any less happy about it. Right? So their happiness is unlimited, because they're contacting the unlimited, but it doesn't have a specific flavor. It's just that unlimited aspect, that perfection aspect of Krishna. But it's about him as a person. It's the basis of all of them, but you see is that the other ones, then they include. So the conjugal includes everything of all the others. Right? So there's always going to be appreciation, but then so that's what we're saying, it's generic. Then you put specific on top of that. Just like, let's say, I have water. And so there's water. It's nourishing. It's all these things. Then I could put some lemon in it. I could put some ginger in it. I could put some tea in it. I could put all different kinds of things and get all these different flavors that are specific. So it's not just water. So the point is that here is that the There's no distinctive. So Shuddha Rati just means it's pure Rati. Mm-hmm. There's no distinctive taste. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And so then there's the distinctive. So when you add the distinctive taste, that's when they become more intense.
Yes.
Yes. Is that? Yeah. It's not impersonal. It's personal, but what I'm saying is more generic. It's just appreciating the, yeah. But at the same time, as their lifestyle and that, it because it's on that border, you'll see that these great yogis and everything, it'll be a similar kind of lifestyle and that. So what you'll see is that they're on both sides of that point where it becomes personal and not. So you'll see that, like the four Kumaras, they are on top of Loka, they're very austere. You know, brahmacharis just living their life like that. Or that one manifestation, Narad Muni is the brahmachari and all that, the same kind of thing. Is that what it says? Yeah. So it's a generic flavor. Yeah. Shuddha Rati has no mixture of the taste found in the other types of rati, such as Priti Rati. 2.5.14. An example. One brahmana, fixed on following the injunctions of scripture, sometimes praised the Lord as master, sometimes joked with him as a friend, sometimes protected him as a son, and sometimes craved for him as a lover, and sometimes meditated his heart on the Lord as Paramatma. In this way, by various modes of service, he was endowed with various inclinations of mind. Right? So he's associating with all these different kinds of devotees and the scriptures, because in the scriptures it's the different devotees and what activities they have. So here is then the swachas, like the crystal. He's you could say, reflecting all these different kinds of rasa. So he's thinking all these different. So it doesn't have anything specific. It's just, and from any of them, he's getting the same taste. So he's not getting, when he's joking with the Lord, it's not this any different than when he sees him as master or when it's different things. You know what I'm saying? It's still, you're contacting Krishna, you have that feeling of contacting Krishna. And so that happiness or that ananda of contacting Krishna. But it's not fixed because he's still a sadhaka. Like that, does that make sense? So that's why also this thing, keeping it open. Yeah, you can keep it open, but then you're saying, you know, it's like, you know, why do we have to be fixed? Are we stuck in one rasa? Why can't we keep our options open as swacha, you know, Shuddha Rati? You know, but it's not understood. What you're saying is not as advanced as we'd like it to be, sound. Is that something? Or?
No,
you
just answered.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Due to the different types of attraction for Krishna, there are different varieties of devotees. Their symptoms are manifested transparently, just like jewels. It is said that a great devotee Brahman would sometimes address the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, and sometimes joke with the Lord, using different kinds of familiar words. Sometimes he would protect the Lord with familial affection. Sometimes he would cry out to the Lord, addressing the Lord as his beloved. And sometimes he would meditate on the Lord as the Supersoul. This means that the Brahman expressed his ecstatic loving symptoms in different ways at different times. But in each instant, because of ecstatic love, the Brahman emerged himself in the ocean of happiness and became situated in pure love. Right? So anyone it is, he's immersed in the happiness of ocean of happiness situated in pure love. That's the generic. That's why I was saying it's neutrality. And it doesn't have any specific distinctions. Right, the forms are different, but the taste is the same, and that taste is wonderful.
Yes,
like that.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. But then you go on, then it becomes more perfect and most perfect. Thus, he was a transparent medium, like a jewel that shows reality in various colors according to its own nature. Right, so that's the aspect you're giving there, but it's mixed when it's one color. Then you say it's falling into the five rasas, you know, into the specific. But as long as it has this, it could be any of them. It's still just in the swacha state, right?
Can we say that? What's our position? Someone
here? You'd have to see. It would be to
no,
be.
Like
we'd be good to be on either of them.
In general.
Sadhakas in general, it could be either also, depending upon where you are. You would say as the more advanced you are, then it would go from samanya to swacha. Mm.
So like become more particular, maybe?
It'll be more intense. The one is you're not quite sure that you're so happy, and it's like you're in the kirtan, you're so happy, but you're not necessarily identifying that it's chanting the holy name. You just think, oh, maybe it's with your friends, with your devotees, this and that, but it's actually, you know, like that. Samanya, but it is in connection to Krishna. And it might be that you see Krishna, like it said, the child seeing Krishna and just, you know, wants to be with Krishna. So it's samanya because it's not specific, because then you distract the child and the mother, you know, says, oh, this and that, then the mother, it's, child's off there. You know, it's just like a major aspect of the uniqueness of the mother's occupation is the ability to distract. The child's into one thing. You can either try to stop them from doing that, which is like a war, or you just distract them.
Any age.
Yeah. Just, yes, of course. So. I say.
Universal thing.
We're keeping the, what do you call it?
The example.
Yeah, keeping within the example to maintain everyone's dignity. Yes. Yes.
I think in the story of Gopkumar in the beginning stages, this can be
described. Oh, that's very nice. Yes.
Because then he was very attractive and he got really into it. But then he moved on because it wasn't his.
Yes, yes. You take on the. It wasn't basically until in Vaikuntha,
yes.
Then when he had that discussion with Vishnu and then Narad Muni,
yeah.
Then he could understand that he wants to go to Braj.
Yes.
But then he told him, then you have to go back because Braj is entered from here,
yes.
From Gokul, because
yes.
It's the same place. It means Vaikuntha is a different place. Gokul is the place that you can enter Gokul, enter Braj without necessarily have the full qualifications. You have enough qualifications, you have the potential. But Vaikuntha, there's no entrance, as we saw there. He's acting in this, and some are getting bent out of shape. Some say, you know, tell him, oh, it's okay, he's in a different thing. Some say, oh, you have to, that's nice, but, you know, here we don't have that kind of stuff. So then you see, then it becomes specific. That's a very good point. How you say?
Fruit of study.
Yes, how you say?
Slowly, slowly, it manifests.
Yes, it like percolates up through. Two, 5:15. Those very pure persons whose heart are fickle because of lack of a particular taste for the ocean of happiness of the higher rasas, who thus conduct themselves according to the rules of scriptures, generally develop swacharati. Right? So they follow, it's according to the rules, it's that's what governs it. Not that that's the process, that's the recommendation, but that's the governing. Like that. Thus, must conduct themselves according to the rules. Because otherwise they don't have a specific taste that's moving in this way and that. So they just follow the rules that are there. That grounds them, so then these are the things. But it's mentioned as very pure persons. So if it's samanya, that means pure. This will be very pure. Right? And if there's nothing at all, then, yeah, a little lower than that. You know, then just samanya bhakti. Because this is, you know, discussing rati. Because it's there. But the other, you see, it'll be have that more temporary nature. Srila Jiva Goswami. These persons, because their hearts are not fixed in any particular taste, anachanta diyam, must conduct themselves according to the rules of scripture. Aryanam. So Arya is one who follows the scriptures. The word Arya Charitan in the following verse similarly means following the path of the scriptures. My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who follows the rules of scripture, who would not be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute, who would not fall down for the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest become stunned in jubilation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. Okay, so we see is that depending upon what pastimes are going on there, then these trees are the trees, the birds, the cow, they're affected. Does that make sense? So cowherd boys are there, they'll be affected by those things. The other ones are the... Does that make... Yeah.
But now, it seems that this samanyarati is the most common.
Samanya, but okay. Here we're talking about the swacha. You mean the swacha?
Yes, the three one.
Means now we're on the middle one, the one where it's transparent.
Yes. This means it's the most...
Or you mean that one, or you mean the one before samanya?
No, the two. It means the most... There are more living entities who have that rati for Krishna.
Because you need situation.
Yes.
If you go to a forest... Then you can be one person, but you need a lot of trees, a lot of birds, a lot of.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. That's the Sandini Shakti. It creates that atmosphere. So the Jnana Shakti is supporting by creating that atmosphere, those moods and all that. Then you have that place in which it is situated and the activities that can therefore be performed.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And so that'll be the Samvit. And that's where Kriya happens. That's where activities happen. The other one is the mood. That's the atmosphere. Because you have something, let us say, you have a group of people, there's a group of people, there's a party or something. And at this party, then, different individuals are interacting with them amongst themselves. And so the overall has a flavor, the being in that group, but the flavor is getting has its limitation to who you're interacting with. But let's say something happens in that group where then everyone is paying attention to the interaction you're having, right? And is supportive of that. They're appreciative. Then it increases the mood. You know what I'm saying? So the situation is there, and then that sensitivity that where everybody is appreciative, then that adds it to it.
Yes.
So that's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? It's just like you have a play and everybody's appreciating. Then it adds to the mood. Everybody, the actors, the audience, everybody's is enhanced by that.
Yes.
But if the play's going on, the punks are sitting over the corner laughing and joking, it just annoys it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
2.5.16 Shanta Shudarati. Non-differentiation of the knower and the object within the mind is called Sama. 2.5.17 It is said by the ancients, that nature by which a person is situated in the bliss of his own Atma after giving up pursuit of material objects is called Shama. 2.5.18 The rati which arises in persons with the predominance of Shama, Atma Jnana, which is devoid of even a trace of possessiveness of the Lord, but which produces attraction for Krishna in the form of Paramatma is called Shanta Rati. Right? So, they're attracted to Krishna, but in this form is that he is the source of all the greatness, opulences, specialnesses, uniqueness, all the different knowledge, everything. Because that you attribute to Paramatma.
Yes.
Krishna is just rasa.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So that point that there's no, it says, not even a trace of possessiveness. So it's just... You realize your relationship with the Lord and that, and how the difference, non-difference, and whatever, like this aspect, and just that appreciation, that transcendental experience, that's the shaman. Yes.
It almost sounds like the object of their meditation. They finally realize it's him.
Yes.
Because he's the Lord, the Master of everybody. They don't.
They don't go farther, but they're satisfied in all that, and that those devotees create an environment in which the other devotees then can taste the further development.
Yes, yes.
Because there's not a problem with it.
Yes.
It means like any of the rasas can hang out with the trees or the cows,
yes.
And the trees and cows are appreciative of any of the rasas because it's just the Lord does all these things. So you see is that from the Shanta Rati is basically where you get the idea that Paramatma feature is the supreme feature. Does that make sense? So that's why then some saying that Narayan, Mahanarayan is the origin and not Krishna. Then it is a flavor. It is how people will see. Because when in Vaikuntha, you're basically dealing with Paramatma. Because Dwarka, everyone saw the Lord as Paramatma. He's a person. He's Bhagavan. But the flavor is Paramatma. In other words, the person, the flavor you're getting is that. Just like you see the person and you, like, let's say, you know, I was saying, like, the army has informal programs. All the officers are there, and they wear their, you know, civilian dress. But everybody's aware that the general is the general. But they interact, it's more relaxed, it's more informal. You know, they're eating, drinking, standing around. There's no official, you know, methods of things are being done. But still, they're aware of that. So that's this principle. So the Yadus have that kind of flavor. Like that. So it's not a problem in that. Because within that, then let's say the general has his wife, he has his kids. You know, he has, you know, there's some other generals there that he's friends with. It's not at all the disturbance to that Shamarati to, you know, for that to go on. You appreciate, oh, you know, it's nice to interact with the wife, or how nicely you interact with the kids, and, oh, what a nice relationship with his friends, you know, they've been through a lot together. And you can take, you appreciate those flavors. Is that? Yeah. So it's not a problem. It creates an environment. That's why you see is this. That's basically, you can say, that position of the jnana shakti. It creates the environment of it, the sundini. Right? Then you're going to have those who are dynamically active within the kriya, you know, the samvit. The sense of possessiveness, they're going to be active and all that, and that then furthers the environment. Then within that, then you're going to have the hladini. Right? So then Radharani and that. So Krishna is interacting with Radharani in that conjugal environment, in that, you know, whole thing of the village of Vrindavan, that's in the environment of Braj. Does that make sense? That's why when you understand the Dham, then these things become apparent. Because it's in the Dham that these pastimes are going on. And to appreciate the Dham, you give up material desire. Because if you have material desire, then you're working in appreciation of this realm. But you give up material desire, then you function in the realm, the natural realm of the spiritual. So you're switching realms. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same point, basically.
Okay.
This is like a natural development of dhyanis, you know, to become Shantabhakta.
Yes. And they're very happy in that position. But we also see that some of them didn't, like the sages at Dandakaranya.
Yeah.
Then they went forward to that, or the personified Vedas. They could easily stay there. So it just means it's a natural state that one could remain at and be fully satisfied. Or one could develop that sense of possessiveness and move forward into the rasas. That makes sense? So the point is this, it's all perfect. So therefore, the Shanta Rasa is perfect. Then when there's the sense of possession, is that, then it's more perfect. And then the conjugal rasa is the most perfect. So, does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami. First, Shama was described, and now the Rati called Shanta, which is characterized by Shama. Right? So Shama is being described. Now we get into this. Bhagavatam describes this Rati. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Narayana. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Right? Because then if you're completely satisfied in Krishna, you're peaceful. Now if that's just the position, that's describing the Shanta position. But it doesn't mean that within that the person doesn't have a sense of possession and is in a higher rasa. They will all have, because that peacefulness is there because there is nothing else. Anxiety comes because of material desire. Right? Happiness comes because of your connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? So you have jnana and vairag. So because of vairag, you get rid of misery. Right? If you're miserable, be detached. The two go together. Believe it or not, but it takes a while to work out. The more I'm attached, the more problem. The less I'm attached, the less problem. Like you see, that cliche, though, it's symptomatic of the mode of ignorance. So the guy, lazy guy, pleasant guy, does nothing, doesn't want to do anything. He has not a worry in the, at all. And he's always kind of pleasantly happy, in ignorance. Right? No attachments. The mode of ignorance sage. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.